with us today a friend of mine and a commentator, Mikhail Brzezinski, who is actually very expert in Ukraine. And we're going to shift the focus now on Ukraine. We're in the middle of this war, horrific war. Ukraine Independence Day was this past Saturday, August 24th. So, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me back on.
Well, Michael, we've been focusing so much on the presidential race and U.S. politics, but for our listeners, just in general, what's the current status of the conflict in Ukraine? Because every day we're getting updates about, you know, just 2 days ago there was a Russian invasion in Ukraine and drone strikes, and then Ukraine's making some inroads into Russia, and I'm kind of losing count here. So can you just talk about ground developments on the ground, what's going on between this war, and why is it so important to continue to support Ukraine with aid and money?
Absolutely. So right now, lately we've had some very good news for Ukraine come out. Obviously, as many of us have been seeing in the news, Ukraine's been doing this large push into the Kursk Oblast, which is a border region of Russia. The reason why this is important isn't just that Ukraine is taking random Russian land, but on the battlefield, this is having a tremendous impact on Russia's ability to supply and move its troops along the whole northern front of the country. What this essentially means is that Ukraine has kind of denied an area of access to Russian forces from about half of the front, which, again, for a country that's been under so much pressure, that's had so many losses, so many setbacks against the larger and, in theory, more powerful adversary, this is very good news. Other new developments that have occurred on the front in the south, there have been major attacks done on Russian infrastructure, as well as one of the most noteworthy things going forward, and even after this conflict, the Ukrainians have been doing a really good job of attacking critical Russian oil infrastructure. As many of us and the listeners will know, Russia is a very large energy exporter, particularly when it comes to oil and natural gas. So Ukraine being able to hit some of these largest oil refineries and processing centers deep into the heart of Russia, primarily through drones, but sometimes with some Western supplied equipment, really puts the pain on Russia financially, and will continue to put the pain on Russia financially going forward in the future. I mean, some of these facilities take decades.
And I'm going to ask a question, and then I'm going to have Jeff Hamblin, and we're going to go back and forth here. But one question I often get asked on is, and I've heard different theories of this, is why is Putin doing this? Why did he invade Ukraine in the first place? I mean, that's a really basic question, but what is your theory behind that, or what
is
your opinion?
It's a basic question. Yeah, thanks. It's a basic question, but it deserves answering. Putin's been very clear about his ambitions for the Russian Federation from day one, since he first took office in the year 2000 and then got reelected in 2001. What that is it's a recreation of the old Soviet Empire. Putin himself has said that the greatest geopolitical tragedy in his mind was the collapse of the Soviet Union. Ukraine has always been a core, fundamental part of any Russian imperial ambition, especially when it comes to reclaiming Russian greatness. I think the easiest way to put an analogy, imagine if Mexico were to try and reclaim its territorial ambitions by, you know, taking back the American West from the United States. In a sense, you know, this isn't a great analogy. It's not a one-to-one. The history isn't exactly, you know, perfectly lined up. But if it makes sense to look at it from this, it's a core facet of what it means for a strong Russian empire. That means controlling, dominating, or at least having a puppet state in Ukraine. This also leads a springboard geopolitically to his other ambitions, which is securing what he sees as the geopolitical kind of weak points of the Russian empire, particularly when it comes to pushing the borders out west, much in the same way that NATO looks to, you know, secure its eastern flank against Russian aggression. Russia wants to be able to dominate more of the European plain, particularly the territories that it used to control under the Warsaw Pact. This is kind of it's kind of unnecessary for us when we're looking at this, like, why would Russia need to do this? But you have to understand that Putin comes from an old KGB stock. He's an old Soviet imperialist. For him, this is like a fundamental necessity, which is why it's so important for us now to prevent Ukraine from falling, to secure an independent, strong, and democratic Ukraine, because it forestalls all of the other plans and ambitions that a man like Putin might have, which would not be to stop at Ukraine. It would be to push further into Romania, Poland, the Baltic states.
Yeah, that was And so it's very important that we win, that they win. Otherwise, other countries could be invaded. Jeff Hamlin.
Well, I was wondering if time is on Vladimir Putin's side here, and if this, the longer the war goes on, it's been several years now, does it benefit him?
I mean, I wouldn't say that it necessarily benefits him, because wars complicate domestic politics to a unpredictable degree. However, it certainly doesn't benefit the Ukrainians either. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. The Ukrainians get more and more attacks. They only have so many resources. That being said, the longer that Putin continues a unsuccessful war, and that's the key here, time being on his side, barring any sort of success, the more and more unstable his domestic political situation gets. You know, the more unpopular the war becomes, the harder it becomes for him and his government to hide the impacts of this war from the Moscow elites, from the people who, you know, would have the voice to stop it. Obviously, they're aware that a war is going on, but the consequences, the casualties, the economic difficulties that the Russian government is facing now, I wouldn't say that it's on his side, but it is kind of like two people punching each other down into the dirt. It doesn't help anybody for the. It doesn't help anybody at all for the fight to get dragged out longer.
Last question. We have 1 minute. One question. I'm going to try to combine them with different ones. You know, what is it going to take to win now? I mean, obviously the presidential race is important, whether it's Vice President Harris or Trump. Is it going to be aid, bipartisan support? What does the message have to be to get this international community to continue to support, including the United States of America?
You know, it's a thing that I know that a lot of Americans are tired of hearing, but it is aid, and for two very important reasons. One, supplying the kind of advanced military equipment that we have in the West to the Ukrainians will allow them to change the war from kind of this trench-dragging, long-spanning war into a war of movement, which the Ukrainians have demonstrated they are very good at, better than the Russians, pushing into Kursk, you know, recapturing lots of territory when they have the tools to do so. And two, the other big reason is that if we're able to get an administration in office that's ready to send even more aid than we've already sent, then that's the sign that the administrations in Russia would need to back down. Right now, they see this as something where the Ukrainians are definitely getting American and Western aid, but not enough to outright beat them. But if they see that the West is ready to supply truly the amount of aid necessary to actually beat the Russians on the battlefield, then the Russians will undoubtedly be prepared to back down.
But we want to thank you, Slava Ukraine, to you and the Ukrainian community. We're going to bring you back in a week or so to talk about the Ukrainian community, North Carolina. But we wish all of you a happy belated Independence Day, and Slava Ukraine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.